First, in light of the recent Supreme Court decision, Bishop Laverty, Archbishop of the Diocese of Arlington, and Bishop Francis DiLorenzo, Bishop of Richmond, released the following statement, which they would like to have read at Mass. And so, today, meaning Friday, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution requires states to issue marriage licenses to two persons of the same sex and requires a state to recognize as marriage the union of two people of the same sex when it is lawfully licensed and performed out of state. We are deeply distressed by this decision, which fails to uphold marriage as the union which unites one man and one woman. This fundamental institution, grounded in natural law, predates any religion or nation. All persons have inviolable dignity and deserve love and respect. Unjust discrimination is always wrong. However, our commitment to marriage is a matter of justice and fidelity to our Creator's original design. Marriage is the only institution uniting one man and one woman with each other and with any child who comes from their union. Redefining marriage furthers no one's rights, least of all those of children. As bishops, we believe it is more vital than ever that we share the Church's consistent witness to the truth about marriage, and we call on Catholics and those concerned for the common good to continue to pray, live, and speak out with charity about the true nature of marriage. The truth cannot be marginalized. And so, my brothers and sisters, we'll leave it at that for now. But remember one thing. Error always leads to destruction. Truth sets us free. Keep that always in mind. But let's go to our gospel. Many of us have been in situations where we have felt hopeless, desperate, where perhaps we wished, God, please perform a miracle. Well, in our gospel passage today, we have two individuals in very desperate situations. First, Jairus, the synagogue official. Now, keep in mind, he's the synagogue official in Capernaum. A couple of chapters before this passage, Jesus cured a man with a withered hand in the synagogue in Capernaum, and the gospel reads, the Pharisees sought to destroy Jesus. So this man could well have been part of that group. Yet, so desperate, he comes before our Lord, kneels down, pleads with him, and says, my daughter is sick near death. Our Lord goes with him and, in the end, raises the little girl from the dead. Then we have the woman with the hemorrhage. Here, for 12 years she suffered this affliction, spent all her money on all kinds of cures. She reaches out and finally touches Jesus, and finally she is cured. Yes, desperate individuals. The word desperate comes from the two Latin words, de, spero, meaning without hope. So really, their last chance was to just hope, maybe, in desperation, that this Jesus could do something. He did. Well, my brothers and sisters, for all of us here, never should we feel desperate. Jesus is not a last resort. Jesus is the first resort and the constant support of our lives. With our Lord, we always have hope. And our faith in Jesus gives us that hope. So let's reflect a minute. In the Book of Wisdom, our first passage, we read, God did not make death, nor does He rejoice in the destruction of the living. No, God is love. And in His love, He created. He loved so much, He created us in His image and likeness, male and female. He endowed us with an immortal, rational soul, with intellect and will. Yet, in that primordial event we call the fall, Adam and Eve, our parents, chose to sin. They wanted to be God. They wanted to do their will, not God's will. They wanted to live by their commandments, not God's commandments. So with that first original sin, suffering, and death entered this world. Nevertheless, God is love. And God so loved that he gave us his only begotten Son, Jesus, second person of the Holy Trinity, true God, entered this world becoming true man through Mary, who had conceived by the Holy Spirit. Through the mystery of the Incarnation, our Lord Jesus elevated our human dignity to something even greater than what Adam and Eve had. In his public ministry, Jesus preached, he performed miracles, all to show the truth and love of God, all to give hope. In the very passages we have today, Jesus truly reveals himself as the Lord and Savior who has power, not only over sickness, but even death itself. This will climax, though, when our Lord goes to the cross. There, he takes the burden of our sins onto himself. He suffers, he dies. But with the resurrection, he conquers. So sin now becomes forgivable. Suffering becomes redemptive. And death, just a passing to everlasting life in heaven for those who believe. This is then the hope that we truly have. And so, my brothers and sisters, never should we lose hope. Rather, with that solid faith in Jesus, we should know he is with us. Even when we face the hardest challenges of life, the toughest situations, Christ is with us. We're not alone, not abandoned, not isolated. Christ is with us. And we have a future, no matter what happens in our life. If we die in faith, we have a future, heaven. So St. Paul said, if we die with Christ, we shall live with Christ. If we persevere with Christ, we shall reign with Christ. This is our hope. And so, our Lord's not a last resort. First resort, constant support. So what then, when one of us here may face a very serious physical suffering and have, in the close vision, death itself? Well, not easy. But looking to our Lord, we unite that suffering, that physical suffering, with his on the cross. We abandon ourselves to him. And with that, we join our suffering to his. We offer our suffering up to atone for our own sins, those hurts caused by our sins, for the poor souls in purgatory, for the sins of this world, for the conversion of our country in this world. Yes, we offer our suffering so that it isn't meaningless, but rather it has purpose, just as our Lord's suffering had purpose. With that, we will find peace. And again, knowing that even if death is in the near vision, just a passing to everlasting life to our Lord. I think of my last assignment when I was pastor at Queen of Apostles. My parish secretary, her daughter, who was in her mid-30s, married, 3 children, was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. Devastating. She went through surgery, went through the whole round of chemotherapy, radiation, and so on. And it was hard at times, especially when one thinks of little children involved. Her husband, though, in praying with her, comforting her, and her husband, Dirk, was a convert to the faith, he said, "Remember, Kathleen, we believe in redemptive suffering. Jesus is with us." Well, as almost a final help, the parish helped provide for her a trip to Lourdes, France. The Knights of Malta offer an excursion with all kinds of invalids and those with serious illness each year. So she went on that trip. She went to Lourdes hoping, yes, that there would be a miracle, that somehow this would be all cured. She didn't get that physical miracle, but she did receive a great peace, a spiritual miracle. When she came back, she said to her mom, my secretary, I'm at peace. And when she finally passed, she was in the presence of her loving family, and we knew that she died in the love of our Lord. Well, my brothers and sisters, in all of that, we see hope, a real witness of hope that is so needed in our world today. But what about when someone does something truly cruel, evil to us, and we have that kind of suffering? What happens then? We forgive. Remember, Jesus suffered extreme cruelty at the hands of others, but he forgave. From that cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. Forgiveness puts a limit on evil. Forgiveness liberates our soul. Forgiveness keeps out the hatred, the resentment, the thoughts of vengeance that would like to take root in our soul. Forgiveness allows us to remain at peace. Think of how, over just about a week ago, in South Carolina, there was that young man, 21 years old, Dylan Roof, who is a hateful racist, went to that little church in Charleston, the Emmanuel Church. He joined a Bible study. The people welcomed him. And at the end of the Bible study, he pulled out a gun and in cold-blooded murder killed 9 people, ranging from age 28 to 87. When he was arraigned in court, many of the family members were invited to address him. And in so doing, they all said, I forgive you. One of them, Nadine Collier, the daughter of one of the victims, said, you hurt me, you hurt a lot of people, but I forgive you. She said that with tears. Bethane Middleton Brown, the sister of one of the victims, said, we have no room for hate, so we have to forgive. I forgive you. Well, my brothers and sisters, well, various politicians tried to make the most out of this, talking about gun control and racism and so on. These people got it right. They turned to Jesus. And with that, they put the limit on evil. And maybe, with their hope, and even through their own suffering, maybe that man in prison will have a real conversion. Maybe his soul will be saved. Something that politicians cannot do. Only Jesus can. And so, my brothers and sisters, looking at our own lives, we know we may go through really tough times. But remember, Jesus isn't the last resort. He's the first resort. He's the constant support. And that means take the time each day to pray, to share your life with our Lord. Allow Him to be the good shepherd who walks with you. Cardinal Xavier Van Tuan, who was the Archbishop of Saigon when the communists conquered South Vietnam, was unjustly arrested, imprisoned for 13 years, 9 years in solitary confinement. Much of that was in total darkness. And yet he said he only kept hope by prayer, sometimes just being able to recite those basic memorized prayers, the Our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory Be. Pray. Stay close to the Holy Eucharist. Here is a sacrament of great hope. Jesus said, he who eats my flesh, drinks my blood, will have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up. How many saints took comfort knowing that our Lord, through the gift of the Holy Eucharist, was with them when their lives were facing martyrdom? Stay close to the sacrament of penance, because we never want sin to take root in our soul. Because when that starts happening, it's hard for us to forgive others, and we hold on to those hurts. Also, when we face the serious illness, maybe serious surgery, ask for the anointing of the sick. It's not a last rite sacrament. It's a sacrament meant to bring healing. It can bring physical healing, but it also brings that healing of spirit, of soul. It brings peace. So don't be afraid to reach out and ask for our Lord through the sacrament of anointing of the sick to help you in those times of need. But put it all together, we have our Lord with us, not as the last resort, the constant support, the first resort. And with that, then, we can leave this Mass and be witnesses of hope to others. So much needed in our world today, in our country today. May God bless you.